Beautiful people of God, we are working through this series called Commissioned, where we believe that we are on a co-mission with God in this world. And we said it was sort of like the Blues Travelers, right? Or the Blues Brothers. I combined like two bands and a movie, right? We're on a mission from God. We are co-mission, and we are talking about, just like we do every week, but in different facets, how do we actually live out this mission of God? And we've talked about that within our membership vows, where we talk about that we will live with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that is part of how we will live out, that will begin to summarize how we live out this Christian faith and our baptism. Baptismal vows that we make when we join the church and that we make on behalf of our children, that we make as a congregation in covenant with the people that are joining or getting baptized. And so today we're going to be walking through one of those. We've taken care of some of the others, and we're going to be looking at service a little bit today. And I feel like this one has to be broken down a little bit because we kind of already have an idea of what service looks like. And so we're going to try to step back a little bit and talk a little bit more about the why and a little bit less about the how of what it is. But here's what I want to ask you this morning. And I'm going to let this one be rhetorical so you can just like say it out loud in your own head, okay? What needs transforming in this world? What needs to be different? Now, and here, I'm going to be honest with you up front, because this is a part of what we have to do as a church and the work that we each do individually, is that when I say what needs to be different in this world, a lot of times our first inclination is to lean towards our political ideologies or the divisions that go on amongst our culture for whatever the reason may be. I'm going to be honest with you. When I thought about what needs to change in this world, I thought about super PACs and college football collectives, right? But those are symptoms of a greater whole. And so whatever might have come to your mind, I'm not dinging you. Those are the first things that came to my mind as well as other things, right? But what I'm trying to get at here is that there's something deeper. There are deeper things that are broken about this world, and that things like that sort of is a joke, and other things that you may think of that show as the symptoms of the things that need to be changed in this world. Now, you see, our mission statement as a church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. How will we know that we are making disciples? We will know because we are transforming the world around us to be more like the kingdom of God. To look here on earth the way that we understand heaven will look. That is what we want to do as people of Jesus Christ, as people of God. Now, in Ephesians 4, we're going to look at today, and I'm going to share with you 4, 1 through 16 to give you a little bit larger context this morning. And here's what I want to preface with this morning. One of the things I love about Holy Scripture and our God and the teachings of Jesus is that they are simultaneously aspirational and practical. Do you know what I mean? See, sometimes we just want to take Scripture and our faith and make it purely aspirational, but really, truly, we believe it can't actually be lived out in everyday life. It has no place in politics or education or whatever it may be, right? We take it and we pluck it out of what actually makes up our everyday life, and we hold it as a theoretical that we should just have in our hearts and live like, right? Yeah, we're going to do that, but how do we also help this world be the kingdom of God? So, what God does all throughout Scripture and all through the teachings of the prophets and all through the teachings of like the epistles that we get to and all through the teachings of Jesus, it says, the world is broken, so here's what we're going to do now, right? The teachings of Jesus aren't just pie in the sky illusions of love your neighbor. Well, they don't mean all my neighbors. They haven't met Tim, right? Our neighbor is Tim, not you, Tim. Our neighbor is Tim, and he's awesome. Everybody loves Tim. So that was a bad one to use, Stephen. But my point is, do we really believe that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Do we really believe that God comes first before anything else? Do we really believe that we should turn the other cheek? Do we really believe that the weapons of war will be hammered into plowshares and the lion will lay down with the lamb, and that's the way the world is supposed to be? Do we actually believe that? You see, because I think sometimes as individuals and the church, and especially when we begin to draw larger into nation states and worlds, that we don't actually believe those things. They sound good. They look really cool on that barn wood thing I bought off of Etsy. And it sounds wonderful. And I want our little kids to believe it's true, but we're adults and we got to grow up. And the world isn't actually like this. And then Paul writes, and Jesus tells us what it's like to actually be able to live those things in the world. Jesus says all the time, you have heard it said, but now I tell you. Right? So here in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility and gentleness and patience. Accept each other with love. I mean, I know I like for other people to treat me with humility, gentleness, and patience, right? But like, I mean, I don't really have to treat everybody else that way, right? I mean, you've seen the traffic lately. My motto at a four-way stop is he who hesitates goes after me, right? You better come prepared because we're getting to work, all right? We will make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. We will make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit. If you've been on social media, we make every effort to divide everything we can think of. To find every single thing we can think of to argue so that a certain politician gets elected, whatever it is, we will find every crack in humanity and we will exploit it for financial gain. But as the church, we are supposed to be about the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever you are. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all who is over all, through all, and in all. Well, wait a second. Let's talk about baptism. There's a few different ones, right? There's one baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, God has given his grace to each one of us. God has given his grace to each one of us. Measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why Scripture says when he climbed up to the heights, he captured prisoners and he gave gifts to the people. What does the phrase he climbed up mean, even if it doesn't mean that he had first gone down into the lower regions, the earth? The one who went down is the same one who climbed up above all the heavens so that he might fulfill everything. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by every wind that comes from teaching with deceitful scheming and the tricks people play to deliberately mislead others. Instead, by speaking the truth with love, let's grow in every way into Christ, who is the head. The whole body grows from him as it is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love, as each one does its part. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, when we read this, we normally like to pluck out those giftings. And we've done that before. That's good. It's a good thing to learn about, to teach, and to figure out what it looks like. We pluck out the giftings and the roles, and we begin to say apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, and we pull those out. But what I think sometimes we miss is that this is the way that God is choosing to transform the world. This is the way that God is choosing to transform the world, through the grace of Jesus Christ that has given each of us gifts to live out as we move on towards unity and as much like perfection as we can possibly have. God has chosen to transform the world through everyday people, through you and me, through us, through each one of us. We usually wait for somebody on TV to transform the world. We usually wait for somebody who's better than us to transform the world. We usually wait for somebody with more money or fame or whatever it may be to transform the world. You've got to have more power to transform the world. But in Holy Scripture and through the teachings of Paul found here in Ephesians and other places, it's you and me. It's us. Joined together with all the other people of faith around the world. Doesn't matter their denomination, doesn't matter what it is. We are brought together in unity and joined together. We are brothers and sisters. And it is through us that it is God's plan to transform the world. Now, we think about just me, just you, just us, even locally here in one church, we begin to ask, how can we even do that? I mean, the problems that we see are so big. So I want us to start with a little bit of a narrower understanding and break down a few principles that we found here in Ephesians. Every follower of Jesus Christ is united with every follower in one mission. We are not divided by nation state lines. We are not divided by political parties. We are not divided by the color of our skin. We are not divided by our gender. We are not divided by anything that we typically use to divide ourselves up into groups so that we can be with the people who are like us and not be around the people who are not like us. We are one people everywhere that we go. All of the nation states joined together, all of the people, no matter the descriptors we could use to call them, we are one people, every follower of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ, with one mission. And that includes every one of us. And that includes every age. You see, it's not just when you're 20 to 60 that you're an active Christian. Right? It includes the little ones that we saw down here today. It includes those who mobility is getting to be more and more of an issue. It includes all of us. And it's up to us to find ways to continue including, and it's up to us to continue actually trying to be included in this one body. Second one is every follower of Jesus Christ has been given a gift. Now, some of us try to over-humble ourselves out of having any gifts. And when we do that, we actually deny what God is doing. We actually deny that God could gift someone like me. We're not humbling ourselves, we're belittling God. Every one of us has a gift. I would say gifts, plural. Now, maybe we don't know what they are. One of the most formative moments in my young faith was taking disciple Bible study, if you've been through it. I know many of you have been through it, and it doesn't matter. Cokesbury and the United Methodist Church makes it, but it's been in all kinds of denominations. But if you've been in it, you know that at the end of that study, it goes almost all year long, right? It's like 36 meetings. And you're like, nobody's signing up for that now, right? Well, that's why they made disciple fast track, but it turns out it's not as good as regular disciple. You actually have to be together as one people in unison, right? It matters. And at the end of it, you sit around and the person next to you pulls out a notepad and everybody goes around the room and names the gifts they see in you. And it is so uncomfortable. And all of them are lying. Right? That's what you say to yourself. And then they tear off that sheet of paper and they hand it to you. Now then you get the notebook and you take the scribe and then we see if you have the gift of handwriting. But you keep that piece of paper and you go home and you read things like the gift of discernment, the gift of teaching and direction, the gift of counseling and care and love, the gift of just being present without saying a word and things being better because you're here with me during this hard time. The gift of a calling to something vocational, whether that's in the church, outside the church, whatever it may be. The gift of keeping the peace, whatever the gift is. You see, we are all gifted, and I'm here to challenge you this morning. Stop thinking you're not. Because gifting doesn't have to do with age, whether you're 5 or whether you're 95. You are all gifted. And if you're going to say you're not, you're limiting God. You're not keeping yourself humble. We are all gifted. So the question then becomes, what is my gift or gifts? And then once you know, then you actually got to do something with it, right? Then you got to figure out what it looks like to live it. And here's the third truth. Every gift makes a difference. Every gift makes a difference. You see, it's easy to see the gifts that are evident on TV or shared widely on social media and go viral. Whatever it is, it's easy to see some gifts and to think, oh man, that's making a difference. I can never make a difference like that. Well, we may not all make a difference like that, but we're all called to make a difference, and every one of us can, right? Even at the very least, there's this really old preacher story, and I can tell it to you real short. Guy walking on the beach. I heard the starfish one. You heard that before? Yeah, you're going to make it through this one too. There's just something happened. There's just starfish all up and down the beach. Thousands of starfish just washed up. They're all going to die. And he's picking up one and throwing it in the water. And picking up one and throwing it in the water. And picking up one and throwing it in the water. And this guy comes down. He's like, what are you doing? You picking up 30 starfish isn't going to matter, right? And he picks up one and he throws it in the water and he says, it mattered to that one. And he picks up another one and he throws it in the water. And he just keeps going and going and going. And you know what happens? I'm adding to the story because I want to. You know what I think would happen? I think that guy that came down to belittle him would pick up one and throw it in the ocean. And then I think the lifeguard would get off TikTok and look down and throw it in the ocean. And I think somebody in the condo up above them would see what they were doing while they were having their morning coffee, and they would get their family up and say, hey, y'all want to go throw starfish? And all the little boys would say, oh my gosh, I would love to throw starfish. I've been dreaming about it, right? And then before you knew it, there'd be thousands of people throwing starfish, and there'd be no starfish, and the entire starfish problem would have been solved. We would have thwarted Mother Nature. But it took one, and it mattered to one. And maybe you can only make it matter to one or two or three, but somebody's going to see you make it matter. And I got to believe they're going to make it matter for one or two or three. And then we start multiplication, right? And then it goes exponential. For those of you who are math people, this goes real big, real quick. For those of you who aren't math people, just Google it. All right? Every gift makes a difference. You can make a difference. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're older. I don't care if you think you're too young. I don't think if you care if people don't care about college kids and you're not involved in the life of the world just yet. I don't care if you hadn't finished your degree. You can make a difference. You were called to. You have been gifted. You can make a difference. And here's another big one. Every gift is given for the common good. Do you catch that? Now, it doesn't mean that it's wrong to use your gifting to provide for yourself and your family and to own a business and to do whatever that is. That is not a problem, all right? Unless it stops you from using that gift for the common good as well. Every gift is given for the common good. And here's why that's important. You weren't given your gift for you. You were not given your gift just for you so that you feel good about it and can sit on it and say, I'm so glad I went to Disciple Bible Study. It looks like I'm called to be a teacher. That's really nice to know. I mean, I'm never going to do it. No, we were called for the common good. We were given a gift for the common good. Every follower is a co-worker with God in transforming the world with their spiritual gifts. Every one of us, whether they're the age of the scouts or the scout parents, whether the age of the kids who the parents were frustrated that it was Communion Sunday because they got to sit in here all day, or whether it's the age of the older folks who really want the kids in here because they just like seeing them. It's everybody. every follower is a co-worker with God and transforming this world with their spiritual gifts. Now, at 11 o'clock today, you got a text message and an email with the spiritual gifts inventory in it. If you didn't get it, it probably meant you unsubscribed from us a while back, and you know, you can contact the office. I won't know. I want you to take it. Try it out. It's just a survey online. Who knows? You've been taking them through Cosmo for decades. You can do it. It's true. You have. I've seen it. You click those on Facebook. Which Gilmore girl am I? Right? Yeah. It's okay. We don't care. You can do this one. You got an email too. You can reply to my email. The text message goes into the ether with our company. But if you reply to the email, I would love to know what your gifts came out to be. And that doesn't mean it's hemmed you in. You're not just those things. You're probably more than that. And some of them may be wrong a little bit. I don't know. But I would love to hear what they are. And I would love to find a way for you to live them out. Do y'all remember? I don't know if you remember. You probably remember. When I was little, I wasn't allowed to watch Transformers. I'm not saying y'all remember that part of this, but but I remember their little slogan. Do you remember that? More than meets the eye. Right? My mom would hear that and come turn off the TV. I love you, Mama. I mean, that's us a little bit, guys. God has given us that grace. We are more than meets the eye. Not to make ourselves better or more profitable or to be better than anybody else, because those things, that's not the way this works. But because we have been gifted, we are unified with all the people of faith around the world. Our gift makes a difference. We can make a difference. And not just for us and our family, but for the common good. Today, as part of our gifting, we are reminded of the grace of Jesus Christ through Holy Communion. That we come down and receive it, not just because it's a ritual or an act, but because it's something that we do that sustains us. We believe that in this liminal moment of Holy Communion, that we are not just given bread and juice, but we are also empowered by the grace of God. And I know that with our scouts here, we may have folks from different denominational or faith backgrounds. And I want to tell you up front, I'll remind you later too. Everybody is welcome at our table. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the church, within our denomination, or whatever it is. If you are comfortable coming and taking communion, we are comfortable with you coming and taking communion. As we prepare ourselves this morning, I'm going to lead us in our invitation and our confession and pardon as we get ourselves right for Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news, my friends. Christ died for us, not when we were perfect and we figured it all out, but while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.